European CME Forum podcast. European CME Forum is a not-for-profit organization that promotes multi-channel discussion on matters relating to European and global CME CBD. My name is Eugene Pozniak. I'm the program director of European CME Forum. In this first episode of 2024, Journal of CME guest editor Andrew Krim is joined by Lawrence Sherman to discuss the 2024 special collection. Andrew is Director of Education and Professional Development at the American College of Osteopathic Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and Lawrence is at Medicaid Global and is also a member of the board of the Journal of CME, JECME. The focus of today's episode is this year's special collection on AI innovations in lifelong learning, revolutionizing CME and CPD.
Well, Andy, nice to talk to you as always, and we are thrilled at JECME that you've accepted our invitation to be the guest editor of the 2024 special collection. And I think it's a topic that's near and dear to your heart.
Thank you very much, Lawrence. I'm happy to be here, happy to talk to you, and I am honored to have been asked and to accept the guest editor position. It's something that never occurred to me early in my career, or even now, that I would be in a position to be asked for that. So I appreciate it. And it is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. Artificial intelligence over the last year has invaded every part of our work life, and in some cases, personal life. And for CPD professionals, learning how to use this in a way that enhances our job, creates efficiencies, and improves education overall, and ultimately patient health, is something I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, and I love the working title of AI Innovations in Lifelong Learning, Revolutionizing CME and CPD, because it really does provide potential authors with a hodgepodge of topics that they can choose from with the use of AI in their daily functions, whether it's in the office, developing activities, et cetera. I mean, where's your mind at with that?
Yeah, so I've given a lot of presentations over the last year on how you can use AI within a CPD environment. A lot of it stems on efficiencies within the office, created within the office, the planning and the implementation of CPD. And some we've talked about how it can actually enhance education, the educational process as well. The door is wide open to everything that we can potentially conceive here, because there are efficiencies that AI provide that people are using in their daily lives, that small offices and large offices of CME are using for data enhancement, data analysis, social media outreach, educational design, all the components that go into continuing education. AI is being used by a lot of different people. These are things that we want to hear about. How is it being most effectively used? What did it cost you? How did it get there? How did you conceive of this? And what have been the results that you've learned from this? We also are really interested in hearing from our colleagues who may not be in the CME world, the CPD world, but in undergrad education or postgraduate education, and how they're using AI, and if there are any lessons that the CPD world can learn, as we're part of that educational continuum, and we have to learn from each other. And if we can use some of the rich resources that they're developing to enhance what we do, all the better.
You know, I'll be honest with you, Andy. One of the things we sometimes struggle with, not just with special collections, but with getting submissions in general, is a hesitation amongst certain stakeholders in the CME CPD world to submit anything regarding the work that they do. So in your mind, which of the stakeholders should consider submitting, and what is it that they could consider submitting? And we can talk about formats a little later, but what kind of work that they're doing do you think would benefit this special collection with your name on?
I think, boy, that really scares me with my name on it. So thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that goes down to the crux of the problem is whatever someone submits will have their name on it. And it's a little scary that it's going to be in print for your peers and colleagues to see for long term. And I think that gets to the reason of some hesitance. I know before I published my first article, that was my hesitance as well. It was almost an imposter syndrome. Who am I? What do I have this to say that's any different or any more important than what anybody else has to say? And it's not anything that has to be different. It's not anything that has to be more important. It's something that you're doing, that you found a way to use artificial intelligence, whether it be in the design or implementation or the education or the outcomes of a CME activity or CPD program, the overall program, that makes it easier, that makes it better, that enhances it in some way. It could be one little item. It could be, this is how we do data analysis. These are the prompts we use to analyze our open-ended comments. This is how we use AI to enhance our faculty's teaching. Things along these lines. This is how I use AI to prepare for a conference. This is how I use AI to make sure I'm using evidence-based practices when I'm designing a conference. It doesn't have to be this large, sweeping, double-blind study that's done. It can be one small thing that you're doing that you've tried and you have results on that you can report on. And just writing it down, putting an outline together and just filling that in on some of the things that you've done is worthy of publication, especially on this topic that is so new that there's so little published on in our arena anyway.
You know, one of the things that we need everybody to keep in mind is that a lot of what we're seeing and hearing about is in the United States. This is a European and a global journal. So we also want to encourage those folks that are in less structured CPD environments, but mm-hmm. who are using AI to share with us what they're doing, because that can help us as well. That can help the broader CPD community. And what do you think of embracing that larger definition of CPD, which isn't limited to the CME or IPCE world that we may live in more often than not, but really that global CPD community?
I think it's a great idea, and I should have prefaced everything I talk that I'm so old that it's always been CME, and it's hard to break out of that mindset for me. But the and I'm trying to shift into calling everything CPD, and I fail at that more often than not. But that's what I'm talking about is the larger CPD community. We're not talking about a conference. We're not talking about a grand rounds. We're not talking about a quality improvement activity that you've helped facilitate. We're talking about the entire educational continuum. We're talking about the educational cycle of identifying needs, of designing interventions, of assessing and reassessing and going back and identifying gaps that are remaining and starting the cycle all over again. That's something that no matter where you are doing continuing professional development, that's the process that you're using to do it. And that's what we want to hear about. We want to hear what our colleagues in America are doing, what our colleagues in Europe are doing, what our colleagues in Australia and from any other location around the world who are using AI in a way to benefit CPD. We want to know from that. We want to learn from that. And we want to see if we can implement some of the same things.
You know, one of the other things we often hear is that people, to the point you made earlier, just don't know where to start. They don't know how to pick what type of article, and we'll get to that in a minute, but what type of article they can submit, what type of information they can submit. So I think it's important for folks to know that the journal and the editorial team would be happy to talk to people before they blindly submit something to help them to structure or format something that is valuable and usable.
And that's a service I think is that is largely missing in our world is the support that's needed to move off the base to run to the next base, to use a baseball term. We know from the work we do on a daily basis that coaching and mentoring shows amazing work. And for the journal to want to provide that to its potential authors is absolutely amazing. So I encourage anyone who's thinking about this, or just you may just have an idea. Is this something that you'd like to see? And where would this fit in this special collection? Reach out and get that information and just move forward. You're never going to get published if you don't start working down that road to do it.
I think that's right. So I've sort of hinted at this before, but this journal accepts multiple formats of submissions. So it's not locked into being one research-based journal. Mm-hmm. So are you familiar with the types of formats that you're going to be accepting for this particular special collection?
So there will be several, and I hope you can elaborate on some of these. We will accept articles and briefs, practice points, and you're going to have to provide me the absolute names of those.
Not a problem. So we break them down into different formats. Okay. And if you look at our long history, we get more shorter communications than longer ones. But the longer papers, research articles, systematic or narrative reviews, those are the ones that take more time. But if that work hasn't already started, it may not fit the deadline for this particular special collection. But we do encourage folks who have already begun research and haven't yet put together the plan of where they'd like to publish, if it fits with our deadline, they should consider it. But then there's brief reports. Brief reports, and so those bigger papers are usually around 4,000 words. Okay, then there's shorter communications, brief reports, and it could be sort of a consolidation of ideas and issues, solutions to problems, et cetera. Observation, certainly reference, but not necessarily an IRB-approved longitudinal research study. And those are usually about 2,500 words. Lastly, we take commentaries, individual or organizational commentaries. And I think those personal opinions about what's going on may be what we get a lot of. And I think that's welcomed as well, because I think we need to hear those perspectives, and that might allow you to put together a nice editorial that summarizes all of the points that are submitted. Those are usually up to about 1,000 words. And if I can comment on sort of fees involved.
Sure.
It's important to remember that JECME is open access. So anybody can see any article at any time. There's no paywall. And that's a big deal, because a lot of the journals are still behind paywalls, which is very frustrating for organizations that don't have institutional library memberships, et cetera, et cetera. But because of that, we have to charge a fee. And it's not a lot of money, but it's a fee. So for the longer articles, it's about €1,450, $1,500. Shorter papers, about €910 or $1,000. And the shorter comments, those individual opinion pieces, we don't charge for, which is why we get a lot more of those. but you know, there's the opportunity to get some discounting. So folks from low and middle income countries and other folks have the opportunity to get some type of discount. And those folks should come to the journal editor and ask, or go to you and you can send it to us. To see if they can get something reduced, because we want to encourage the publication. We want to support it. It's not so much about the money, but we do have to cover the costs to publish it so that we can get this information.
Publication should be accessible by everyone. And I think the fees, which are very modest in comparison to some of the other journals, some of the other open access journals, are reasonable and are needed to guarantee that access. So
And we're giving people a big window to submit, right? They have until the end of July.
That's a very big window.
And so I know, Andy, you and the editorial team are going to be reaching out to people, mm-hmm. but even if you don't get that phone call from Andy, not that Andy makes phone calls, you may have AI-generated emails sent to you. But if you don't hear from us, reach out to us. because this is an important issue. We know there are conferences going on. The Asia Pacific Medical Education Conference that just finished in Sri Lanka last week, the entire focus of the conference was AI and health professions education. So there's work going on out there. We need that work to be published. So we'll be reaching out to many of you, but Andy, we need them to reach out to us.
You know, I would like to see some articles or commentaries about how someone got started in AI. How did they jump over the hump from I've heard about it to I'm using it, and this is how I got there, and this is what I do. That's very important for the group of people who are hesitant to jump into the AI rink. There are a lot of people who are thinking, how can I contribute to this? That's a way you can contribute to this. And there are some really cool projects that are going on using AI in the CPD world. We'd love to hear about those, how they're working, what's been tried, what worked, what didn't work. Be honest about it. This isn't a place for us to uphold just our successes. We learn more from failures than we learn from anything else. And we want to hear about all of those and celebrate them all.
And you know, JECME is the publication that's aligned with the European CME Forum. And so traditionally for the last special collections, we've always had a session at the meeting focusing on some of the papers that were published as part of the special collection. Will you, Andy Krim, be in Madrid, November 6th through 8th, 2024, for European CME Forum? And will you commit to do a session?
I will be there and I will do a session.
So much less drama in your answer than in my question.
I will be there and I will do a session. There's your Captain Kirk version of that.
That's fantastic. Andy, I think we covered everything possible. Is there anything else you want to add to encourage people to submit or to consider submitting or to reach out to see if what they have is worthy of submitting?
If you have any questions about whether what you are thinking about would be worth writing down and putting on paper, give me a call. I'm easy to find. My email is acrim@acoog.org. Pop me an email. I'll give you a call. We can get together and just kind of hammer it out and see if there's something that you're interested in doing. I look forward to hearing from everybody out there.
Outstanding.
And that's it.
Cut.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Journal of CME guest editor Andrew Krim with Lawrence Sherman discussing this year's special collection on AI innovations in lifelong learning, revolutionizing CME and CPD. Journal of CME is the PubMed-indexed open access journal of the European CME Forum, publishing articles that address aspects of CME-CPD planning, design, delivery, assessment, and regulation across the health professions. More information can be found on the journal's website, jcme.org. Thank you for listening, and join us for more episodes as we explore all things CME-CPD.